Welcome to Real Estate Investing for Women. On this show, you will learn how to create wealth through real estate the blissful way. That means with very little stress and very little time. We talk about strategies, mindset, heartset, money smarts, resources, and so much more to ensure you're able to create the success you most deeply desire. Now, here's your host, Monica Sawyer.
Today, I am so excited to welcome to the show, Matt Argersinger. Matt is the lead advisor of Mogul. He joined The Motley Fool in 2008 as part of the company's analyst development program. He's worked on numerous Fool investing services, including Stock Advisor, Rule Breakers, Million Dollar Portfolio, and Supernova. He helped establish Motley Fool Germany and also appears regularly on the Motley Fool podcasts, including Market Foolery, The Motley Fool Money. And in addition to stocks, Matt and his wife, Jean, own and manage a few income properties in Washington, D.C., and have interest in several commercial real estate developments. He's excited to use that experience and his full investing knowledge to help Mogul and Million Acres members find today's best real estate opportunities. Matt earned a degree in economics from Brandeis University. He lives in Washington, D.C. with Jean and his beloved King Charles Spaniel Daisy, who we've heard about actually before.
Oh, that's great.
Other than hunting for investing ideas, Matt enjoys traveling, skiing, mountain climbing, and board games that take at least 4 hours to complete. Oh my God, that is so funny because my husband is the same way. And the poor guy, his wife is like, can we just play for a half hour? So
my wife is the same way. So.
It's so funny. Dave actually says the exact same thing. I prefer it to take 4 hours. It's not a game unless it takes 4 hours.
He's probably like me. He's really into the strategy, the long-term
exactly.
thinking. I know.
Exactly.
I drive my wife nuts. I drive her nuts.
So funny. Well, welcome to the show, Matt.
Well, thanks so much for having me, Monique. I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah. So ladies, you met Deidre last year, Deidre Woodard with the Motley Fool. She was with Mogul. Is that true, Matt?
Yeah, she's with Mogul and she's kind of the editor at large for Million Acres.
Perfect. And you heard about like the amazing thing that happened, right? Well, it wasn't amazing for them. It was amazing for me. I got rated like in their top 10 podcasts to listen to for real estate. I did a happy dance because I've had this long relationship with Motley Fool, like since 1994, when their very first book came out. Yeah. You guys started me on my journey in investing. Like that's what started the whole path to the building wealth paradigm that my husband and I have followed. So you've been a big part of my life. So for you guys to reach out to me was like, you know, this is going to sound terrible, but like, I don't know, like God reaching out down your hand saying, you have won, you know, you are so awesome. I'm like, ah! That sounded weird. I don't know how to express it, but but anyway, so I'm really excited to be talking to you today too, Matt. This is really fun. So what I want to start with is, of course, I want to talk about you in a second, but I want to talk about the difference between sort of what Deidre talked about and what you're going to be talking about today.
Sure. Well, I think with Deidre, she spoke about our Mogul service, which is a real estate service designed for accredited investors. It's really looking for deals in the private market, oftentimes deals where you do need a substantial amount of capital to get started. What I'm excited to announce is that we recently launched a new service called Real Estate Winners, which is really designed for more beginning investors or just investors looking to gain a bigger exposure to real estate within their stock portfolio. So it's a service where you can get started really quickly for hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars, depending, no matter how much you want to invest. And all you really need is a brokerage account and you can get started. So it's our way of kind of really reaching out and trying to broaden the amount of people that can really invest successfully in real estate. And that's kind of what overall what we're trying to do with Million Acres anyway. You know, it's just help people get happier, richer, and smarter through real estate investing. I think Deidre probably said that many times. And I'm probably going to say it a lot today too. So forgive me, but it's kind of our guide. It's kind of our guiding light. So.
Well, I was going to say, you know, each company has their mission. You want to make sure that everybody's consistent with that mission, right? And
right.
So that's perfect. I love that. So why don't you tell us, I know I read your bio, but give us like a high level of your story, sort of how you got to where now you're working with Real Estate Winners.
Yeah, sure. Well, I, as you said, I started with the Motley Fool in 2008, and I worked mostly on our stock investing services at the Motley Fool. And I loved it, had a great time, worked really closely with David Gardner, one of the founders of the Motley Fool. But over that same time when I was doing that, my wife and I were investing in real estate. We actually bought our first property in 2009 in Washington, D.C. And it was a house we lived in, but it also had an income property attached to it. And so I love telling the story because one day my wife, we just bought the house. We're figuring out how to rent the property, the income apartment. And my wife reads this article. I think it was the New York Times at the time and said, hey, look, there's this new company called Airbed and Breakfast. And they're kind of expanding. And of course, now we know that is Airbnb. And at that point, I think there were like three Airbnb listings in all of Washington, D.C. And so we thought, you know, this is interesting. Let's maybe try renting this income property through Airbnb. People like to come to DC for short periods of time. Let's try it. And that was really successful. I mean, we listed it on Airbnb, and within a week we were booked for like 6 months. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of really was a catalyst for us to invest in more properties and kind of follow that same sort of short-term rental approach. And, you know, we did that several times. So now we own several income properties in DC. And eventually we also were able to invest in some commercial properties, for example, a self-storage facility out in Colorado, an apartment building, a big apartment building that's being developed in DC. So we just kind of expanded. So as I'm working at the Motley Fool, I've kind of got this sidetrack of real estate investing going on with myself and my wife. And a few years ago, I sat down with a few colleagues of the Motley Fool and I said, you know, real estate's just this big asset class. You know, it's actually three times the size of the stock market. And
I should repeat that. Ladies, you need to hear that.
Right. So real estate is, if you add in, you know, single family homes and commercial real estate, it's three times the size of the stock market. So it's a huge asset class.
And it's not as volatile, right? So.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So it has all these great things. We'll talk about them, of course, during the show. And I thought, I met with some colleagues and I said, you know, let's try to do something with real estate investing at the Motley Fool. We've been so focused on stocks, but we got real estate out here. A lot of investors want to know how to invest in real estate. And so that was kind of the genesis of Million Acres. And of course, we launched the site a couple of years ago and we've just been building new products since and trying to get more people invested in real estate.
Yay. Sorry to have interrupted. There's sometimes we say things in our bios that are so important for us to hear. So thank you so much for that. And I'm glad you guys did move into that asset class because it is so huge. And when you actually look at sort of the dynamics, and Deidre talked a little bit about this, of like how many women are investing in real estate as opposed to men, the percentages are so low. So there's huge asset class, huge opportunities on so many different levels, and women just aren't getting in. Now, I'm proud to say that because of my podcast and several other like leaders in the industry that are now women, we're seeing a lot more women flooding in. I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. But still, we are the minority investor in real estate. And so I really want to see that expand because of the potential. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And well, the great thing is, I feel like real estate today is more accessible than it's ever been. I mean, it was sort of that asset class that, you know, not just women, but really any individual investor who had never done real estate looked at and said, okay, well, how do I get involved in real estate investing? You know, I've got to save for a down payment for years, you know, or if I ever wanted to buy a commercial property, I'd have to be a millionaire. There's no way. And the beautiful thing about today is that through crowdfunding or real estate investment trusts, there's so many ways to get involved in investing in real estate and getting exposure to this asset class, which, by the way, has a really great track record over time, is less than half as volatile. You said volatility is less than half as volatile as the stock market. So, you know, if you're kind of tired of the ups and down swings of the stock market, real estate is certainly a great option.
Ladies, before we get into the meat of this episode, let's have a quick word from our sponsor. If your idea of asset protection and tax mitigation is setting up a simple LLC and family trust structure, you could be leaving your business, real estate, and personal assets completely exposed. Imagine instead being able to take advantage of the bulletproof asset protection tools formerly reserved for the ultra wealthy. If you'd like to mitigate or eliminate your capital gains taxes while protecting your assets from predatory litigation, visit blissfulinvestor.com/trusts.
That's plural. There, you will find out more in a free recording with the world's foremost expert on a new kind of trust structure you've probably never heard of. This is a true generational wealth building business and personal asset protection and tax mitigation structure dating back to the founding of our country and is still used today. Just go to blissfulinvestor.com/trusts to find out more. It's free.
And, you know, I just want to point something out. I had this conversation with my dad this last weekend. He loves stocks and they've done phenomenally well. And David, my husband, loves stocks and we've done phenomenally well. Thank you, Motley Fool. You know, we've done really, really well in the stock market. So I'm not dissing on the stock market, but I will say this. Unless you really understand it, the volatility can get you. And let me tell you a little bit about what I mean by that. Let's say the stock market, you put in $50,000, right? And it goes up to $100,000, you know, let's say in 3 or 4 years, right? That's actually pretty ambitious. But let's say 3 or 4 years, it goes up to, it doubles, right? Mm-hmm. Then there's a huge crash, like in 2008, 2001, there have been some really, really big crashes in the stock market because it's so volatile, right? So it goes down. Now let's say it's at 25,000. Well, you've lost 50%, right? But it feels really bad because you just lost $75,000, right? Right. Now let's say it doubles again. Now you're at 50,000, just right where you began, but it says that it doubled, right? So the volatility, this is what happens with it. And the thing is with the difference between the stock market volatility and real estate market, there's two big ones. The first one is it's really liquid in the stock market. So when that thing crashes and you have this emotional response, what do most people do? Sell, get me out of here. Oh my God, that was so scary, right? But if the real estate market crashes, you can't sell usually, right? You can file for foreclosure, which most people won't do if they, you know, if they can avoid it. You're forced to stay in for recovery. So you're less mm-hmm. likely, because here's the thing is you don't actually take a loss or a win until you sell. So there's forced longevity in real estate. Here's the other thing that, and I hope I've kind of hijacked the conversation, Matt, but I hope that this feels relevant.
Not at all. No, you're so spot on.
The other thing is leverage. So let's talk about what happened in 2006, 7, and 8. Stock market was going gangbusters. This actually happened in 2001 too, right? Just before the boom, the bust of the boom.
Right.
Do I have those dates right? So
yeah, I mean, I think it was, starting in 2001, the dot-com crash had sort of started and it really... Yeah, really.
But before that, what happened is the stock market was going up and up and up. People were so excited and they were starting to margin their accounts. When you margin an account, what you do is you take the amount that you have and you buy double the stock. Okay, so you're at 50% leverage. Okay, and what happens is if you're at 50% leverage and the market's going up, you're making double the money. Yay, that's really exciting. But what happened in the bust was that those accounts are leveraged and then the stocks drop. Now, the problem is that when the stocks drop, now all the brokerage firms need to come up with the money, so they call your margin. So people ended up owing hundreds of thousands of dollars on stock they never owned fully. They owned 50%. So people ended up, that's what the problem was with the stock market. It's not that you couldn't hold on to good stocks. It was that a lot of people were margined. And so they got called on that. And then the other thing was the freak out of, even though it's a good company, look at the way the stock market just tanked. Now let's compare that with what happens in real estate. Real estate, we put 20% down and we're margined to 100%. So we're margined 4 or 5 times. What is that, Matt? Is that 4 times or 5 times?
Yes, five to one. Usually,
right. You know, it's a 5 to 1, down. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
But if the value of the home drops, you don't ever get called on that margin. You keep making payments, you get to hold on that property, and you get to watch it recover, right? If you stay in. So when we talk about the volatility of the stock market versus the real estate market, there's a lot of things involved in that. And there's a lot of reasons that real estate is a much safer investment. Again, I'm not dissing on stock. We do a lot of it. We don't margin on stock. There's some things that we do to keep ourselves safe. But I just wanted to give you ladies perspective just because it was top of mind. My husband and I were talking about this. So when you're actually investing in real estate, that's what happens. Now, if you go with like Million Acres and they're talking about REITs and stuff like that, just understand that now you're investing in somebody else who's making those same decisions. But how that kind of works relative to volatility is still really relevant.
Yeah, I mean, it's your points are so spot on. I think just really funny, we did a study once that looked at America's billionaires. Mm-hmm. And it turns out, now, none of us are billionaires, right? Well, maybe some of your listeners are billionaires. But if you looked at the billionaire families that have sustained their wealth for decades, almost all of them are real estate. They're in real estate. And that's just what you said, is because they were never forced to sell. They were never forced to panic and emotionally, and they couldn't really offload their properties, right? So they invested in properties and oftentimes they'd roll them over with 1031s and save on taxes. And so you save on capital gains and they just kept rolling into real estate and holding on. And that's such a key point. But yeah, I mean, if we talked about REITs for a moment, so REITs are like stocks. They're traded in the public market. So a lot of people think, well, what's the difference between a REIT and a stock, right? It's probably just as volatile. Well, they're not. If you look at the historical performance of real estate investment trusts, and data goes back over 50 years, not only have they outperformed the stock market, they've done so with about 50% of the volatility of the average stock. Mm-hmm. So you're investing in a REIT, and most of the time, of course, you're getting a nice dividend out of that. So you're getting income, and the stock doesn't move nearly as sharply as your typical stock. So it's a lot easier to hold on. You're building wealth over time. You're getting income. And I just love that part of the stock market, because I think it gives you exposure to dozens or hundreds of real estate properties. You know, if you're investing in a retail REIT, you know, you're getting exposure to hundreds of retail properties. If you invest in a multifamily REIT, you're getting exposure to hundreds, if not, you know, tens of thousands of apartment units around the country. And so, you know, there's going to be downdrafts in certain markets, or there's going to be volatility in the overall market, but over time, that should build wealth, and the volatility is so much less that you can sustain your investment in that and not get sort of panicked out of it. I think it's a great option for any investor. We know on the Million Acre side, a lot of people are thinking about retirement. They look at REITs as a way to generate nice, steady income in a, you know, lower volatility part of the market. So, and that's just one of the benefits of real estate investing.
You know what? Actually, let's define, Deidre did this quickly, but let's define again what a REIT is and really how it works, okay?
Mm-hmm, sure. So REIT stands for Real Estate Investment Trust. They were formed in the by Congress, actually, in the 1960s as a way for the average individual investor to buy into, say, a pool of real estate. And so nowadays, there are hundreds of REITs, and they're all structured so that they don't pay taxes at the federal level. But in order to qualify for that, they have to pay out 90% of their after-tax income in dividends. And that's why your typical REIT has a pretty high dividend yield. And that's because most of the profits, 90% of the profits it gets from its real estate operations, it pays out to investors in dividends. So great option if you're, you know, you're for an income-seeking investor. And, you know, over time, like we've seen this, the REIT category has grown. So now it includes things like data centers, for example. So there are data center REITs. Interesting, right? Or there are, if you ever drive on the highway, you'll often see a sort of a big tower that looks like it has, you know, dishes on it or, you know, arrays on it. And those are often cellular towers, right? Well, there are several REITs that only invest in cellular towers, you know, wireless towers that, you know, as we roll out 5G and we use more and more data on our phones, those towers are being used. And well, you can actually invest in those in real estate investment trusts. And so it's really expanded. There's self-storage REITs that only invest in self-storage facilities. So there are all kinds of ways to get exposure to real estate. And REITs are very efficient and very profitable way to do that. And like we talked about before, the historical track record is so great. In fact, Monica, we look at this all the time, but if you look at the last 20 years, since 2000, the average REIT has performed returned twice the return of the S&P 500. It's remarkable. And if you think about that, you know, we had this massive financial crash in 2007, 2008, which a lot of us think it was really real estate driven. Well, it was to a certain extent, but even through that, REITs have outperformed the stock market, and again with lower volatility. So, you know, I'm biased, of course, but if you ask me, where do I invest most of my money when it comes to the stock market? I tend to do it with REITs.
Got it. So tell us, give us some real clear comparisons between investing in a REIT versus other real estate investing opportunities.
Okay, well, you know, so if I'm starting out as an investor and I'm thinking about where am I going to invest and I want to get exposure to real estate, well, I could invest in a rental property. But of course, that takes often takes a pretty big down payment. Your mortgage rate, mortgage options on a rental property are not going to be as good as they are, say, if you're buying a primary home. So that can be a pretty big burden to take on. The commercial side of real estate is very big. You know, you really have to be approach it with millions of dollars, and it's very expensive to get into. REITs offer you the option of, you know, investing as little as $100 or $1,000. All you need is a brokerage account, and instantly you buy a basket of REITs, and you got access, exposure to hundreds of real estate properties around the country. So it is probably the cheapest and most efficient way to get exposure. Now, you can also invest in real estate stocks. Now, let's think about maybe Zillow, for example. Let's talk about, you know, hell, everyone knows Zillow, right? Well, they're publicly traded. And you could say to yourself, well, hey, I could invest in Zillow. You know, that's a real estate company that's publicly traded. But gosh, with that, like we talked about before, you're investing in a stock. Hopefully, you understand how Zillow's business works. And you're going to face some serious volatility with doing that. If instead I buy a REIT, let's say a REIT that I'm familiar with is Mid-America Apartment Communities, which they're the biggest apartment owner in the country. They own most of their apartment buildings in the southeast and southwest parts of the United States, where a lot of people are moving these days. Very good performer over time, very consistent, pays a nice 3% dividend right now. That to me seems like a great way to play the real estate market, rather than sort of the high-flying or other expensive alternatives in the market.
Interesting. So you bring up a good point about one that you're interested in. How do we decide what kind of REITs to get into? Like with stocks, we all kind of know, you know, there's a lot of different resources to get information, right? How do you do that with REITs?
Great question. Well, there are a lot of ways. I mean, when I am learning about a REIT, you know, I find one that I'm interested in. Go to the company's webpage. So, you know, this, we'll use the example that I just had, Mid-America Apartment Communities. You can Google Mid-America Apartment Communities Investor Relations. That'll take you to their website where they have presentations. They've got press releases and filings. You can get to know the company a little bit, the history of the company, how many properties they own around the country. And one of my favorite things, and it's really easy to do, is if you just look at the long-term track record of the stock. So look at how Mid-America, the ticker's MAA, look how they performed over time. And if you look at MAA, over the last 20 years, they've delivered a great return to investors. And they've had the same leadership in place the entire time. So you can have confidence, hey, I'm getting a great return from this REIT. I know I have a management team there that's been in place for over 20 years. They've been through many cycles, economic cycles. And yet the stock continues to outperform. It's a good bet that Mid-America is probably going to continue to perform well in the future. So my tip is always, if you find a REIT that you're interested in learning more about, go to the website, learn more about the REIT, and then just see how it's done over time for investors. And if you have a REIT that's been around for, say, at least 10 years, and it's performed really well, it's a good bet that that REIT's going to continue to perform well for investors, especially if you see it's raised its dividend over time. That's another good indicator that it's a well-managed REIT that's, you know, raising the amount it's paying to investors over time, gets you an opportunity to earn income and grow as the stock grows.
So the other thing that happens is with the stock market, you know, we're hearing about stock all the time. It's sort of culturally something that people find interesting to talk about. So you might say, oh, well, I've heard about this company called Google and they spun off ABC and I want to check that out, or this weird company called Amazon, or, you know, whatever, right? Like,
right, of course.
You hear about
or GameStop. What is GameStop up to?
Yeah, what's that going on? Evidently it crashed. So whatever, right? But you hear about this culturally out there in the world, but we don't hear about REITs. So where can we go to even start? Like, okay, so I might be interested in a REIT to do research on, but how do I even find out what I should be looking at? Especially if there's thousands out there, it can be really confusing.
Great question. I mean, one place to start, it's a little boring, but if you look up the National Association of REITs, NAREIT, they have a website. It's not the greatest website in the world, but they have a lot of information about REITs on that website. You can go check it out. A lot of great information. Of course, you know, I'm going to say this. If you really want to find out some great investment ideas in the REIT space, go to millionacres.com. that's our free website. A lot of great art. We have dozens of articles we're publishing every day, at least a few each day on REITs. We have several writers that really focus full time on finding REIT great read ideas in the marketplace, and they're writing articles every day and putting reports out there. So,
and actually the URL to go to would be blissfulinvestor.com/millionacres.
That's the one.
Because I think they've got a free gift there and everything. We'll tell you about that in a minute, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So of course, so start there, but I mean, NAHREIT is a great service out there. The link you put out for Million Acres, go use that as well, because I think you'll find some great timely articles on REITs if you're looking for ideas.
Awesome. Talk to me. You said something about when you sent me the information, it says real estate winners advisors identify a select group of real estate investments and REITs that are at the heart of some of the biggest demographic and technological trends shaping society today to generate returns of 15, 18, and even 21% annually. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So if we think about real estate, it can seem quite boring, right? Well, I mean, it's rental properties, it's, office buildings, it's retail, hospitality, hotels. But there are some really interesting parts of the real estate market that are just seeing tremendous change. We already talked about data centers and cell towers, for example, and we think about data usage and cloud computing. Well, there's real estate infrastructure behind those big trends that you can invest in. Industrial is an interesting one. So when we think of the average person thinks about industrial. We think of, a factory or, a manufacturing plant or something like that. Well, in real estate, there's also some interesting facets of industrial. If you think about warehouse space or logistics centers, and think about how much time people are spending at home and ordering online these days. And there is real estate out there that's really benefiting from that trend. And so the returns you threw out, we've identified companies with our real estate winners service that we think are really benefiting from these trends. And when we sort of do our projections of those returns that we think investors can get with the dividend, those are some of the returns we're finding. So real estate isn't boring if you're earning 15, 18% or, over 20%.
I'm with you. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And those, that's really possible out there. You just sort of have to, again, do your due diligence, get to know the company a little bit, get to know management a little bit, see how they've done over time. And granted, if there's some tailwinds behind it, one of the reasons I like Mid-America, I keep coming back to that name, is because if you think about the country at large, there's this big Sunbelt migration going on. A lot of people are moving to places like Florida, Texas, Arizona, away from sort of the traditional Northeast cities or coastal cities. And so I'm looking for companies that own a lot of real estate in these places where people are moving to, because I like to say, real estate follows people, it follows capital. So as people move to these places and income flows to these places, real estate's going to follow. And a lot of these places are underserved in terms of how many apartments they have available or other types of properties. And so there's some really great big trends out there in real estate. And, 2020 just really accelerated a lot of them. And we're going to see those play out in 2021 and beyond. And so that's kind of what we're doing in Real Estate Winners, is really trying to identify those trends and put money behind them.
Nice. And we're going to be talking about that, ladies, more in extra. He's going to actually talk a little more detail about those trends and really where they're going to be looking and where we should probably look in 2021 to take advantage of the trends that already have some momentum. So I'm really excited about talking about that in extra. So yay. So talk a little bit about the premium subscription service. So there's Mogul, there's Real Estate Winners. You guys have a few different things. You started by talking about that, but I want more information, right? Can't stand it. I want to hear all about it.
Well, so under the sort of Million Acres umbrella, we've got a service called Mogul, and that was the first service we launched. And that is what we think about as our sort of go anywhere real estate service. We're looking at REITs, like we talked about. We're looking in the stock market, but we're also looking at private opportunities. So there's this whole world of crowdfunding now. Some of your listeners might have heard of Fundrise or CrowdStreet or maybe some of the other big platforms out there. Well, these platforms are coming out with real estate deals all the time, private deals. And we wanted to develop a service that would help investors navigate these platforms and figure out what the best deals are among those platforms. Now, with those deals, you often have to be an accredited investor. So you have to come to the table with a pretty high income or net worth. And so it can be pretty prohibitive. And that was one of the reasons why, in addition to Mogul, we launched Real Estate Winners recently. And Real Estate Winners is really geared toward the person who's either new to investing, maybe new to the stock market, new to REITs, or just wants more real estate exposure to their portfolio and wants to do it in a very cheap and cost-effective way. And hands off, right.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of what we talked about as well, is, you don't have to be sort of that weekend landlord that my wife and I spend a lot of time at. You can really, with just a small amount of money, get exposure to some really great portfolios of real estate managed by professionals. And all you get to do is sit home and collect a dividend check, hopefully. Mm-hmm. So it's really great. And so that's what we're trying to do. Those are kind of our two big services right now behind Million Acres.
Awesome. And Deidre talked a lot about Mogul, and that was more of the crowdfunding piece, right? And
that's right.
With Real Estate Winners, which is what your focus is, that's more of the, you know, beginner investor, which more for REITs and that sort of thing. Yes?
That's right. That's right.
Okay, great. So ladies, I just want to tell you a little bit more about how to find out more about Million Acres. You know that I'm a huge fan. Yay. So you can just go to blissfulinvestor.com/millionacres. And there is a free gift there waiting for you. It's the 10 best real estate investments right now. Yay. So go check it out at blissfulinvestor.com/millionacres. Get your free gift and start studying. This might be a way, you know, for me, when I talk about blissful investing, you know that a lot of it just has to do with low stress and low time commitment, right? Because to me, that's what bliss feels like. Everybody can define bliss how they want to. But from my perspective, this sort of hands-off, high return thing that I focus on so much is really what bliss is for me. So this is another one of those ways to accomplish that. So go to blissfulinvestor.com/millionacres and download their report. So Matt, are you ready for our three rapid fire questions?
Oh yeah, always. Let's do it.
Okay, good. So Matt, give us one super tip on getting started investing in real estate.
I think first and foremost, decide what kind of real estate investor you want to be. Do you want to be someone who's hands-on, who likes to get their hands dirty, who doesn't mind dealing with tenants face-to-face and really getting involved in real property? Really challenging, has huge rewards, great. If you're instead on the blissful side, which I think I'd like to be as well, and you're just more of a hands-off and you kind of want to identify some really nice trends in the real estate market, decide that. And I think then maybe REITs or, you know, other options in the public markets are probably the place to go. So I think that's the first thing you do. Decide what kind of real estate investor you want to be. And then after that, you can find the right path to get started.
I love that. And then what is one strategy on being successful in real estate investing?
Oh, you know, I think you touched on it, Monica, earlier, which is being able to hold on. I think, you know, we think about the stock market, we think about REITs, and we get excited about buying, right? We're investing and putting money to work, and we get dividend checks, and it feels great. But what happens when volatility, the inevitable downturn comes, right? I think being able to steel yourself against that and just accept the fact that now and then the stock market's going to drop, just like it did last March. It's going to drop 20-30%, and it's going to drop fast. And how you act, you know, in those kind of moments really determines how much wealth you're going to be able to accumulate over time. If you can hold through, even take advantage of some of those downturns, you're going to come out great. If you're someone who can't and panics and sells at those moments, you're going to do some real disservice to your portfolio and to your returns. So I think emotion is the hardest. It's, I don't know if it's a skill or what, but it's the hardest thing to sort of maintain to be an investor. If you've got the right emotion, you can steal against those downturns, you're going to be very successful.
Yeah. I often say on this show, I love Warren Buffett's quote, that if you can't control your emotions, you can't control your money. Right.
That's so spot on.
Yeah. And that's what we talk about with blissful investing, is really learning how to manage your emotions so you can handle those challenging times. And even when you get freaked out, like the market just dropped and you freak out, that you don't live in that place. You're able to bring yourself back to the bliss equilibrium where you can make rational decisions rather than emotional decisions.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. What would you say is one daily practice that contributes to your personal success?
Oh, I think finding time to go for a walk, get fresh air, do a little exercise. You know, my brain is always so full because I'm always thinking about things. I'm reading about companies, or I'm working on a project, or I've just got so many things dancing in my head all the time. And the idea of just being able to sort of shut it all down for a little while, go for a walk, you know, and it's funny. It's ironically, it's easier these days, I think, with the pandemic, because here I am at home with my wife. We have a son, a 2-year-old son now. And so, you know, just being able to go spend a little time with him and clear the head, you know, and then come back to work. I think a lot of us just really are stressed out, and even in non-COVID times, right? And the ability to sort of just disconnect for a while, get some fresh air, exercise the brain and the body a little bit and come back to it. If you can do that, if you can fit that in for at least 30 minutes a day, it's made a huge difference to me. And I think it'll make a huge difference to your listeners as well.
I love that. Thank you for that. Well, this has been awesome. Thank you for all that you've offered in this portion of the show, Matt.
You bet. Thanks, Monica.
Yay. And ladies, so we've got more coming in extra. We're going to be talking about the potential growth investment classes that expanded in 2021 and have a lot of continuing potential, in 2020 and have continuing potential in 2021. So you can tell I'm really excited, right? So... So if you're subscribed to Extra, definitely stay tuned. We've got some great stuff coming from you that's for you that's really relevant and actionable. If you are not subscribed to Extra but would like to be, just go to realestateinvestingforwomenextra.com and you get the first 7 days for free. So you can take a look, see if you love it. And if you don't, no obligation at all. That's realestateinvestingforwomenextra.com. For those of you that are leaving Matt and I now, thank you so much for joining us today. I look forward to seeing you next time. And until then, remember, goals without action are just dreams. So get out there, take action, and create the life your heart deeply desires. I'll see you next time. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed today's show. If you'd like to find out more about how to become a blissful millionaire, go to blissfulinvestor.com. See you next time.